With the federal government's withdrawal from the Paris Climate Agreement, state and local governments in North Carolina have set their own ambitious goals over the past year for addressing climate change. Now they're puzzling over how to carry out the big changes needed to reach those goals, such as switching to electric vehicles and shifting more to renewable energy. At least for now, it's still mostly data gathering and discussion. WFAE's David Borex has this report.
In October 2018, North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper signed Executive Order 80, committing the state to slash greenhouse gas emissions statewide, increase electric vehicles on state roads, and reduce energy use in public buildings. 21 cities and counties statewide, including Raleigh and Charlotte, have set similar local goals. They're acting because the Trump administration isn't, says State Environmental Secretary Michael Regan.
Because the federal government has put a pause on tackling this initiative, it's put a lot more leadership, opportunity, and pressure on states and local governments to take action to mitigate climate change pollution and prepare society to be more resilient.
Regan oversees the North Carolina Climate Change Interagency Council. That's a working group of state agency heads and other officials set up to carry out the goals of Executive Order 80. In meetings this year, it's been collecting climate data and talking about policies that can spur action in the private sector.
And so there are key goals and strategies within the Clean Energy Plan that outline actions that our General Assembly could take, that the governor could take, that different cabinet agencies can take.
Among other things, Cooper's plan calls for tax credits for electric vehicles, converting the state fleet to electric vehicles, and reforming the way electric utilities are regulated. All this sounds great, but there are roadblocks. Both Regan and Cooper are Democrats. North Carolina's legislature is controlled by Republicans, many of whom are unlikely to support Cooper's plan or the budgets needed to carry it out.
What's hamstringing us is the political climate on the state and federal level. That does present challenges.
And there's another aspect of the governor's plan that could prove difficult. Many state and municipal facilities are powered by electricity from the state's big utility, Charlotte-based Duke Energy. About half the energy Duke generates in North Carolina comes from nuclear power, which would meet the zero carbon threshold, but the company still relies heavily on gas and coal. So the ability of state and local governments to meet their goals is largely dependent on changes at Duke. The governor's plan calls for reducing greenhouse gas emissions from electricity plants by 70% below 2005 levels by 2030 and reaching a zero carbon footprint by 2050. Duke Energy's own goals are similar. Here's CEO Lynn Good at a December panel discussion in Charlotte.
Our goal is to reduce by at least 50% by 2030 and to be net zero by 2050.
That's not far off from what the governor wants, but Good says getting to net zero by 2050 can't happen with existing technology. It will take advances like better energy storage or carbon capture techniques, such as removing carbon as fossil fuels are burned at power plants. In announcing Duke's goals last year, she said fossil fuels aren't going away.
We will need a diverse set of resources, including nuclear, natural gas, renewables, battery storage, energy efficiency, and the electrification of transportation. We will also need coal for some time, even as we increasingly rely on other fuel sources.
A spokeswoman also notes that Duke is seeking to extend licenses for its nuclear plants and retire some coal plants early. And she says reaching the goals may also require some maneuvering on paper, such as buying carbon offset credits. That's where a utility helps pay for projects that reduce greenhouse gas emissions elsewhere and then uses these credits to show a net reduction in their own emissions without closing all their fossil fuel-powered plants. Environmental groups, including the Sierra Club and NC Warn, say Duke's new commitment doesn't go far enough. They want Duke to end coal-fired energy production sooner and to scale back plans to convert more production to gas. Jim Warren of NC Warren says Duke's climate goals conflict with the company's own 15-year plans for new facilities, including new natural gas-fired power plants and projects like the Atlantic Coast Pipeline, which will carry fracked natural gas from West Virginia to North Carolina.
You can't be on the right side of the climate crisis when you're greatly expanding the use of fossil fuels. We need to be cutting emissions everywhere we possibly can, not trading them from one polluter's district to another.
Duke says it's working on a revised plan that aligns with its new goals due next fall. Transforming North Carolina's energy system will be an uphill battle. That's why DEQ Secretary Michael Regan says the state's plans should include a major overhaul of how electricity is sold and regulated in North Carolina.
We're looking at ways to enhance and fix the existing system. But as part of Executive Order 80, we're also looking at alternatives to the existing system, whether that be more competition or total competition. All of these issues are on the table.
Regan says other changes short of deregulation could include new rate structures, multi-year planning, or other tactics that he said would, quote, better align utility incentives with the public interest, the needs of our grid, and state policy. Just like state government, North Carolina's cities and towns are also adopting climate goals. 14 mayors are among 438 nationwide who've pledged to uphold the goals of the Paris Climate Agreement. And at least 21 cities and counties have passed their own climate goals and are developing their own action plans. In the 2016 Paris Climate Agreement, nearly 200 countries agreed to work to reduce greenhouse gas emissions to keep global warming below 2 degrees Celsius, or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, above pre-industrial levels. In North Carolina, Regan says state leaders, at least those in the executive branch, are working hard toward that goal.
What I've seen is the adoption of a level of optimism, because people know that we can solve this problem, we can make a difference.
But enthusiasm may not be enough. A November United Nations report says even if countries meet their commitments, global temperatures are expected to shoot past the 2-degree goal. And global carbon emissions are still rising. For WFAE News, I'm David Borax.